Amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Happy Easter, everyone. It's so good to see all of you this morning. And it was great to have the kids in here with us for the children's message. And kids are wonderful. They have such an imagination and a hope for the future. And Jesus himself said that unless we become like little children, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And there's one thing about kids is they believe anything is possible. Talk to any 11 or 12-year-old boy, and they fully believe, they're confident that they are going to be in the NBA at some point. You cannot deter them. They really think anything is possible. They have big dreams for the future. They want to be doctors. They want to be lawyers. They want to be architects. And when we're young, we dream of our future, and we imagine how things are going to be. We imagine how things are going to play out. Perhaps we have dreams about getting married and having three or four kids, but then life happens and sometimes things don't work out the way that we had hoped. When I was a kid, I had my eyes set on being a fighter pilot, but I'm here now. So that did not work out. But we face disappointment in life, and oftentimes what happens as we get older is that we tend to get a little bit jaded and a little bit cynical because life doesn't work out the way we had planned. In 2007, my wife and I felt the call of God to go and plant a church in New York City. And so we were very excited and we moved to Lower Manhattan and we began work just witnessing, sharing Christ with our neighbors and building a small community. I was working with another pastor at the time, and within about 2 or 3 years, we had a worship service started, and people were coming to faith, and we had about 100 people that were meeting at a community center. It was wonderful. But then about 5 years in, the whole thing began to fall apart. The lead pastor that I was working with, some family stuff came up, and he abruptly left. And I was there taking over and just trying to hold it together and trying so hard, pouring myself into the ministry. But over the years, we saw a slow trickle. And that 100 or so people that had been there in the beginning, they pretty much all left. And within 5, 6 years after that, I was struggling with a very small congregation, you know, just trying to hang in there. And there were many times where my wife and I, you know, asked ourselves, is this worth it? You know, should we still be here? And we had discussions about that. Should we stay? Should we go? About 12 or 13 years into it, the situation was so bad that I felt like, you know, I don't know if there's any future here. I think this church is done. I think we need to, you know, acknowledge that we, quote unquote, failed and pack it up and moved. But we hung in there. And so in the midst of all that, you know, there was a lot of discouragement, a lot of feeling like a failure and wrestling with the fact that it did not work out the way we had hoped. And many times in our lives with marriages, with kids, with careers, with jobs, we face these situations where we have so much disappointment and regret that we begin to even be afraid to hope. And I think for a lot of us, we're afraid to hope, we're afraid to take that risk, and hope even at times feels foolish or feels naive. And if there's anything that we don't want to acknowledge that we are, is to be naive. We'd much rather be realistic. But Easter is about hope being restored. Easter is about hope being renewed. It's that disaster and failure and death and destruction is not how the story ends. Easter rewrites the story for us and it gives us hope. Did you know that 66% of Americans, apparently in recent research, 66% of Americans believe that the resurrection really happened? But I wonder if that 66% of people who believe that the tomb is empty, if they know what the implications are that, not only for life and for history, but for your life and for your story, the story that God is writing in your life, because 66% of you, Lord willing, you believe, you actually think this happened. That has real implications for your life. It changes everything. It makes a huge difference in your life. And I want to share from Scripture today three ways that that is true. And we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 1. There's a pew Bible in front of you, page 835, which you can use that there. And by the way, you are allowed to take a Bible. So if you don't have a Bible, you need a Bible, and you want to take that, you are welcome. That's our gift to you this Easter, to take a Bible home with you if you don't have one. Let me read from verse 1 to 10. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid,
For I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." I want you to look back at verse 1, and these women, the two Marys, I guess Mary was a popular name in the first century in Palestine, but you have Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, that they are going to the tomb on Sunday morning. And I want you just to try to imagine that day, and that the grief and the incredible feeling of disappointment that they must have had as they went to visit their dead Savior and their dead friend. I mean, can you just imagine if they had newspapers back in the day and the kind of headlines that would be shown on Saturday? Jerusalem in turmoil, self-proclaimed Messiah executed by Roman authorities. And another headline would have read, "Healer hung, followers scattered." And then there might have been another one, Caiaphas seeking re-election, promises to make Judea godly again. You didn't catch that? Okay. Against all hope, the followers of Jesus had come to believe that this man Jesus was the answer to all of their hopes and all of their longings, that he was the promised Messiah. But then on Friday, they crucified him. And if you have a dead Messiah, right, that is a failed Messiah. A dead Messiah is not a Messiah, right? If Jesus really was bringing a kingdom into this world, to have a dead king means end of story. It means this is over. This has not panned out. And so you imagine just the devastation that a lot of the women that followed Jesus were supporters of his ministry, and they poured time and energy into helping Jesus and supporting him and caring for him and his disciples. And they had so much hope that this person really was giving us a fresh picture of God. He really was showing us a God who loved, a God who forgave sins, a God who cared for the poor and the marginalized and the sinners, a God who was going to change everything. But all their hopes were fixed on Jesus, and yet on Good Friday, he died. And so they're coming to the tomb with all this disappointment, all this jadedness, and I imagine that maybe some of us feel that way this morning too, the disappointment of life and the jadedness. And yet, what do they find on Easter morning? They find an angel. They find an empty tomb, and they hear, and even though they're filled with fear, the angel says, "Don't be afraid. You came to look for Jesus, but he's not here. He's alive. He is alive." And then, so then they're frightened, you know, four times in this text. They're told not to be afraid because they're so filled with fear. They don't know what's going on, but their hope is beginning to be renewed, right? Just maybe this wasn't the end. Maybe there's more to come. And so they leave to go tell the disciples. And then it's right then as they leave that they meet the risen Savior. And he reminds them that he is alive. He shows them that he is alive. And friends, this changes everything. It changes everything, and I want to share three ways why the resurrection has profound implications for us. I have 6 minutes. We'll see if I can do this. Number one, implication. If Jesus is alive, then there is hope in following Jesus. If Jesus is alive, there's hope in following Jesus. Following Jesus, friends, let's be honest, it's hard sometimes, right? To follow Jesus requires a kind of death to self. Following Jesus requires putting yourself out there and taking risks. It means that you live a life that is not just pursuing your own desires, but it is a life dedicated to the kingdom of God. And that life can be challenging. And sometimes, you know, the challenge is so hard that we even ask ourselves, right, is this what I signed up for? Do I really want to go through with this? Jesus at one time said to his disciples that he said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Right? That's a real leap of trust that he's asking us to take. To seek first his kingdom, put his kingdom above every other pursuit in your life. Make God and his righteousness the central thing that you're about. And he says everything else will be taken care of you, taken care of for you. Even Jesus' own disciples at times wondered, "My goodness, we've made a lot of sacrifices to follow Jesus. Jesus, are you sure it's worth it?" In Mark 10, they have this conversation. Peter began to say to him, "See, Jesus, we've left everything to follow you." Do you feel like that at times? You know, you who are believers, that you've left everything to follow Jesus. You've made huge sacrifices. You've taken huge risks. You know, what's going to come of it? Especially when we're going through hardship and we experience loss, and perhaps we even have times we're disappointed because prayers don't come through in the way that we need God to answer our prayers. But this is how Jesus responds. He said, Peter, and talking to the other disciples, truly I say to you that there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. If Jesus is dead in the tomb and that's the end of the story, none of that makes sense. But if Jesus really, truly rose from the dead, if he resurrected, then everything that he said will come true. Then there is a resurrection in store for you. How your story ends will end also in transformation, in resurrection, right? The resurrection of Jesus completely validates the teaching of Christ. It fundamentally says, yes, it's worth it. Yes, stay on this path. Is it hard? Yes. Does it require sacrifice? Yes. But look where it goes. Look what the destination is. The destination is resurrection. So there's hope in following Jesus. But secondly, if Jesus is alive, there is hope for real transformation in my life. So this is much more personal. I want you to think about this personally. What does this mean? If the resurrection is real, there is hope for real transformation in your life. I wonder if you've ever been in a situation before where you look back over your life and you shake your head in regret and you think, I can't believe this is my story. I can't believe that this is happening to me now. I can't believe that after, you know, having been a part of this church for 30 or 40 years, now I face this situation. I can't believe that after, you know, working so hard and working towards retirement, and I was looking forward to retiring at 70, this happened to my uncle. He's been working, and is an accountant. And then at the age of 70, 6 months before he's supposed to retire, gets cancer. And then within a year, he passed away. And that was his story. After working, and then he was hoping to enjoy retirement, and it disappeared in the blink of an eye. Or how many of you have been pouring yourselves out for your kids, and you've given your kids every single possible opportunity, and yet they come of age and maybe they're not walking with the Lord, or they're making decisions and you just don't understand, you know, after everything that you've done, why would things turn out that way? Maybe you envision getting married and you're into your 30s or your 40s and you're still single and you're wondering what happened. Or maybe you envision having 3 or 4 kids and you lucked out and you found a spouse, but having children has turned out to be so much harder and so much bigger of a challenge than you could have imagined. Or maybe, you know, like I did a couple years ago, you find yourself in the midst facing a personal crisis, maybe an addiction of some sort. And you look back and you're like, how can this be my story? How does it end up here? But friends, if that's you, then the resurrection is such good news, because it says to you, that is not how your story ends. And I want to be very careful right here, because I don't want to promise that everything is going to work out perfectly, or that that just because Jesus rose from the dead means that every single wish or every single dream that you ever had for yourself is going to come true. I don't believe that. I don't believe the Bible points to that. But the resurrection, I want to be clear, the resurrection does point to a Savior who has conquered all of his enemies. The resurrection points to a Savior who is completely victorious. The resurrection points to a Savior who is able to take death and from death make new life. And the Bible teaches this incredible truth that stems from that. And this is that truth, friends. And Luke alluded to this beautifully during the children's message, that the same power, the same strength that God used to raise Jesus from the dead is available to you. That same resurrection power is available to you. It is at work in your life. And if you're not seeking just your own dreams and your own desires, but seeking Jesus and seeking his kingdom, right? How you thought your story was going to end is not how that story is going to end. Ephesians chapter 1, 18 through 20, listen carefully. And having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places? The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us hope that through God's power, your life, even if it doesn't work out exactly as you had planned, can be a living embodiment of his power and glory through personal transformation. Friends, God is writing a beautiful and powerful story through your life. Don't ever ask, this is my story, this is the narrative, this is what my life looks like. No way. God is going to take that story and write a better story. That's the hope of the resurrection, that he can take the ashes of defeat, the ashes of failure, and out of that create new life and victory. And he, I believe firmly, wants to use your life as a narrative, as a story, to reveal his glory. That's why Jesus promised us that we would do even greater things than he did. He said, even greater things are going to happen in your life through the story that I'm telling through you. How is that possible? It is possible because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And finally, my 15 minutes are up, but you're going to have to wait for this anyway. Third point, hope in life after death. There's one more aspect of the resurrection that shows us that hope is not foolish, hope is not stupid, but hope is legitimate, and it is incredible, and it's going to fill you with excitement for what is to come, and that is hope in eternal life, that death is not the end for us, for those who have faith in Christ. It is not the end. The resurrection of Jesus Christ validates hope in eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is Jesus' promise to you, available to you, that if you put your faith in him as the Son of God and you believe that he died for you for the forgiveness of sins, you will have eternal life. The resurrection justifies this and proves it. It says this is not a myth. This is real. In Christ, you have eternal life. You will live forever. Even though you die, he will raise you up, and you will have eternal life with God in heaven for eternity. To the woman at the well, Jesus said, John chapter 4, Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks out of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of living, a spring of water welling up to eternal life. If Jesus died on the cross and he ended up in the tomb, if that was the end of the story, then those promises are false. But if Jesus truly resurrected from the dead, then that promise is full on in effect for you. That after death, you have eternal life to look forward to. And there's nothing that can take that away from you. God has you firmly, squarely in the palm of his hand. He will resurrect you. You have absolutely nothing to be afraid of. C.S. Lewis spoke about how the resurrection of Christ was the first of what was to become for the rest of us. Let me read what he wrote in Miracles. He said this, the New Testament writers speak as if Christ's achievement in rising from the dead was the first event of its kind in the whole history of the universe. He is the first fruits, the pioneer of life. He has forced open a door that has been locked since the death of the first man. He has met, fought, and beaten the king of death. Everything is different because he has done so. This is the beginning of the new creation. A new chapter in cosmic history has been opened. And friends, this Easter, you are invited by God to take part in that story. It is a story of resurrection, a story of new life. Your hope in Christ is not naive. It's not foolish. How you thought your story ends, if you're in Christ, is not how you're going to story, or your story is going to end. God wants to take your life and infuse it with resurrection power and tell a beautiful story of God's power and his majesty. And so if you're here today and you're discouraged and you're afraid and you have regret about how things have panned out, and maybe you feel ashamed of mistakes you've made in the past, look to Jesus. Look to the cross. He offers you hope this morning. God offers you hope. He says, I'm not done. I am not done. There's more to come. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be glorious. And you got to wait for it. Just wait for it.
How do you participate with this? Jesus says, come to me. He says, repent of your sins and put your faith in me. Repentance and faith is how we come into this eternal life that he wants to offer. And I want to pray right now, and I want to give you an opportunity to put your own faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to turn from your sins, to accept the gift of new life that he wants to offer you this morning so that he can write a new story in your life. Would you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, this morning we look to the cross, we see that you're not on it. We look to the tomb and see that it is empty, and we praise you, Lord. We worship you this morning. And Lord, I want to lift up to you any person here who's facing discouragement, any person here today who's facing regret, any person here who feels shame has covered their life and that there's not going to be any redemption or newness. Lord, I pray that you would renew faith this morning, that you would renew trust in our hearts this morning. Help us not to give in to the voice of shame. Help us not to give in to the voice of regret. Help us not to give in to the voice of fear, but fill us with power through your resurrection and your spirit, Lord. Give us new hope for the future and show, Lord, that you can write a beautiful story through our lives, a story that will bring love and joy and peace, not only to us, but to our community, to our church, and to our world. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.